Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Believe it or not, the NBA is back for reals. First games of the NBA season are mere hours away, and the Toronto Raptors will get to raise that banner. However, it's going to be strange not to see Kawhi Leonard as the NBA MVP or the finals MVP, not standing there gazing up into the Raptors. The Raptors. Oh, dear. There goes the perfect show. Into the Raptors with the rest of the Raptors. Well, good morning to you, too. Instead, he will be in the second game of the opening night doubleheader. I'll just be honest. I'm going to need to go back and review all of the free agent movement because I can't even possibly recall every detail. Not even close. The big ones, of course, I remember. The stunner of the summer, which was Kawhi Leonard recruiting Paul George to go to the Clippers. And that is the late game. That is the one that the NBA is starting out with, not a Warriors game, which I think is fascinating. But we know they're all about this rivalry in L.A., Kawhi and Paul, Kawhi and PG versus LeBron and Anthony Davis. So we've got our poll up, our Twizzler Tuesday. Lots of you weighing in on Facebook as well as on Twitter. We're trying to gauge your interest in the start of the NBA season. So there's a poll up on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on Facebook. You're blowing it up as usual. I wonder sometimes how you guys have so much time on your hands. But we appreciate the fact that you listen and that you also participate in our social media questions. So this is the start of the NBA, but it's also the start of the World Series, right? So first of all, it's no accident that the World Series and the NBA season are starting on a night when there's no football. Trust me, that's not an accident. So we've got those two going head to head, and I will be interested to see the ratings for a World Series game featuring two major metros in the United States, the Astros, as well as the Nationals, Houston and DC. And we're going to preview the series coming up in 15 minutes here on CBS Sports Radio. What kind of interest, though, will there be in the Lakers and Clippers? I think you'll find there's a great amount of interest there as well. So if you're one who wants to see both, make sure that your thumb, your remote control thumb is warmed up and stretched out. We don't want to pull any ligaments. We don't want you to be a Drew Brees. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. From inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help, and they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Happy Tuesday morning to you. Here's the good news. You survived Monday. Here's the better news. You're not Sam Darnold. Unless you're listening, Sam, I really think you should get some sleep. Sleep it off. But I can understand why you might have insomnia. Monday Night Football, it was two teams who couldn't have been farther apart in this particular moment. I'm not saying the Jets aren't going to win another game. I'm not saying the Jets are crap. I'm not even saying that Sam Darnold is a bust like some people are. I mean, that's all overreaction. Darnold is not a bust. He's a young quarterback who got taken to school by Bill Belichick. He's not the first young quarterback who has experienced that phenomenon, and he won't be the last. Faced a lot of blitzes, faced a lot of pressure from a veteran defense that has established itself as a heavyweight already in this season. And it gives that Patriots offense a soft place to land. All kinds of cushion there. But I will say the Patriots offense set the tone right out of the gate with a 16-play drive. 8 minutes and 47 seconds, 16 plays. In someone else's stadium, though you wouldn't have known it. Was it just me, or was it eerily quiet on the Patriots' offensive drives? Hey, Jets fans on the other side of the double-pane glass, why was that happening? I mean, I know the Jets are not very good this year. But come on, you could hear Tom Brady speaking to his offense. That's not supposed to happen in hostile territory. Am I the only one that thinks that's odd?
Yeah, some Jets fans are actually Patriots fans. It's a conspiracy.
Okay, that explains it. Good thing I asked that question. So the Patriots start out with a 16-play drive, and as if the crowd wasn't already quiet, they were definitely quiet then. And it just, that, so that was maybe the highlight for the Jets because they weren't on the field, the offense. It was brutal. That's the word that Adam Gase used, and I couldn't agree with him more. The New York drives in the first half, interception, punt, fumble, interception, turn the ball over on downs. The time of possession, meager. The yards, 66 total offensive yards. 3 Sam Darnold turnovers in the first half, plus a 3 and out. That's where the Patriots got their 24 points, right there. In the second half, interception, safety, interception. That's how they started. If they had any designs on coming back. Darnold looked overwhelmed. And at one point, because he was mic'd up, the ESPN crew actually played back the audio of him saying, "I'm seeing ghosts." I thought it was pretty funny. Gosh, I think I was listening to the Westwood One broadcast at the time, so because I really enjoy Kurt Warner's commentary. And so I'm listening to Kevin Harlan and Westwood One, and they mentioned the fact that they heard, we all heard, Sam Darnold saying, "I'm seeing ghosts." And you get Kurt Warner piping up, "Oh, yeah. The NFL is going to get a call about that. It's going to get a lengthy phone call about that." But it was out there. I don't know if it was a Halloween reference or what, but Sam Darnold said it. And so, of course, he was asked about it after the game, a performance in which his passer rating was 3.7. So he goes 11 of 32, doesn't even get 90 yards, 4 interceptions and a fumble, and he admits he's seeing ghosts.
When I talk to the coaches, I just got to be, you know, straight up. And, you know, for me, I just got to see the field a lot better. That's kind of what that means. And, you know, just it was a rough day out there, rough night out there. And obviously I got to be better and learn from the mistakes. But we will get better.
When we go back and look at this, he's not going to be happy. He probably was feeling like guys were coming free when they might not have been. You know, it's tough. That's what playing against these guys. If you don't pick some of this stuff up early, they're going to keep bringing it. And they're going to find different ways to bring it. And then it's just going to get bad from there, which it did.
We learned all about zero blitzes on Monday Night Football. And potentially Sam Darnold is up studying zero blitzes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. I am so impressed and really intrigued by the Patriots secondary specifically because of the veterans they've got. And that defensive backfield, it's incredible the number of years, the number of reps, the wisdom they bring to the table. And it's a little bit like a Tom Brady situation. What hasn't Tom Brady seen on the football field? Nothing. Anything that a defense can throw out there, he's already seen. He's already navigated. He's so prepared for it. He's faced every situation that you possibly can on a football field. There is no shortcut to that kind of experience. And the secondary for the Patriots has the same thing working for it. They've got a ton of experience. I thought it was funny, too. I put that out there on Twitter during the game, and one guy wrote back, "Not to mention twins who can read each other's thoughts." I don't know if that has a ton to do with it, but it certainly helps with the communication. I mean, that defensive unit, just that group. Another listener wrote back and said they're the new Legion of Boom. The cohesiveness is apparent. And the versatility, what they're able to do because of all the experience they've got. So that defense, I mean, we've raved about the Niners defense. Got to rave about the Patriots defense. Really impressive. And we're not alone because Tom Brady also raves about the Patriots defense.
They're just playing great football. They're doing a great job. They cover, rush, stop the run, make critical plays. So they're just, it's awesome to watch.
It definitely is, for sure, if you love football. Now, if you didn't like last year's Super Bowl or February Super Bowl, you may not be super excited about it, but it's surgical. And as for the Jets, they played right into the Patriots' hands. It's not as though Darnold was forced at gunpoint to throw the ball up in the air off his back foot. Stop doing that. That is a recipe for disaster. And yes, it's part of the education of a young quarterback. But don't make it easy for them. Did you hear the advice that Le'Veon Bell gave to Darnold after the game? Leave it to family. And you know, football teams, basketball teams, I mean, this is family. For anybody who played sports, you get it. This is your family. It's up to family to tell you the truth. It's up to family, to put it bluntly, to not worry about your feelings, to be honest with you even when it's painful. Well, Le'Veon Bell did that with his brother, Sam Darnold.
He felt like it was like one of the worst games he ever played. And I said, hey, bro, it's always been games like that where you don't play well. And now you know you only can play better from here on out, you know? Like, you can't play no worse than you played tonight.
I'm not laughing at Sam Darnold. I'm sure it was extremely painful. It's sports. You win some, you lose some. Some days you're on top of the world and you're throwing 92-yard touchdown passes. You're beating the Dallas Cowboys. 8 days later, you look like you've never thrown a football before. So it's sports. But for Le'Veon Bell to say to him, you can't play any worse. The truth hurts, but, you know, it's a good perspective. Hey, it can't get worse, so you know the next game's going to be better. Oh, my gosh. I appreciate that from Le'Veon Bell because he's certainly been through the ringer. Some of it created on his own, of course. But the Jets now fall to 1-5. Patriots move to 7-0. It's the first time that they've been 7-0 since 2015 and the third time in their franchise history. And, it was efficient. It was impressive. It was dominant. I could give you all of the numbers, but they dominated the eye test and every statistical category, so you don't need me to do that. Sony Michel with 3 touchdowns. If you had him on your fantasy team, well, good for you. If you have Sam Darnold, I realize that it's actually possible for a quarterback to have a negative point total in fantasy football. I didn't know that that was a possibility with a quarterback, but it happened. So take Le'Veon Bell's word for it. You can't play any worse, which means there's no place to go but up. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. What is your level of interest for the start of the NBA season? Coming up, though, they've got to compete with the opener of the World Series. We'll get you set for what should be a brilliantly pitched series if the numbers hold true. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Hungry for a taste of the most delicious audio of the night? You came to the right place. It's time for Bite Me with Amy Lawrence. Here's Amy Lawrence.
Good Tuesday morning to you. We are drawing close to the opener of the World Series. For the Astros, it's only been a few days since the end of the ALCS. For the Nationals, of course, it's been a week. Feels like forever since they swept the Cardinals, but now it's time to get back to work. After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. For sure, these two teams have taken completely different paths to get to the World Series. You've got the Astros, who won it 2 years ago. They were the Cinderella team in 2017. They were the team that had never won a championship. They were the team that was representing a region that had been devastated by Hurricane Harvey and had so much of that support behind them. It's different now, right? They won a franchise record 107 games, and they've got a pitching staff with a pair of 20-game winners, an historic run by Gerrit Cole, household names up and down their lineup. Well, for the Nationals, they started out 19-31. They've got a manager who consistently has said, we had a huge hole to climb out of, but he helped to engineer that, and they've had one of the best records in baseball going back to the end of May. But they also had to survive 3 elimination games before their masterpiece in the NLCS. So AJ Hinch, Davey Martinez, primed and ready for a battle in the Fall Classic.
you want to do well against the Nats, you got to beat their starters and then make them make decisions as the game goes on. If you sit back and kind of wait for the bullpen or wait for them to make a decision, you'll look at Strasburg and Scherzer throwing 120, 130 pitches, and you'll be too deep in the game to make up a difference. Those guys getting 21, 24, 27 outs is a real possibility for them.
I joked around after we clinched, and I told him, I said, hey, I'm going to give you guys a day off. And they all laughed, especially Anthony. He said, just one? And I said, yeah. I said, hey, our work's not over.
Anthony Rendon, part of the crew that's made such an impact in the batter's box, especially this last surge where the Nationals have won 16 of 18. And they've got some really cool storylines in their clubhouse, too. Ryan Zimmerman, the original Nat, now 35 years old. Howie Kendrick at 36. Max Scherzer has pitched in a World Series before back in 2012 when he was a member of the Tigers. He's got buku playoff experience, but he's never won one, and he's also later in his career. So there's some cool individual storylines. I don't know, but I feel like the Nats might be the Cinderella story for this particular World Series, that they'll have kind of the bandwagon jumpers pulling for them, because we love a great redemption story. And man, their postseason run to this point this year, awesome. Before this, not so much. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Gerrit Cole was not part of 2017. He joined the Astros after that. So it's his opportunity to win his first ring. And there's a lot of talk about what he might do when this season is over, when free agency begins. There are only so many teams that will be willing to offer him the kind of money, the kind of contract that he should command based on the open market. But right now, it's all about Houston, and he feels completely comfortable with the Astros.
They were very welcoming, very gracious with their time. They were hospitable. We had some team events that obviously everybody's included, but it's a great way to break the ice. I mean, every year you come into spring training, you have guys that are new, whether it's me or whether it's somebody else, you know, you have to extend an open hand, try to make them part of your family, try to make them part of your team.
In making him part of the family, he has rewarded them with an historic run. He enters the World Series, the game one start that he will make tonight, 19-0 in his past 25 appearances. Perfect in the playoffs so far. 1.59 ERA going back to late May. But in his previous eight starts, so this is him ramping it up in the postseason, 8-0 with an ERA of 0.77. Surely benefiting from the experience of Justin Verlander and the mentality that Verlander brings to the mound. But you can imagine Max Scherzer takes a little of that with him as he starts for the Nationals. And there's a lot of responsibility on the shoulders of the starters for Washington. Their bullpen, one of the worst in Major League Baseball this year. So it's an advantage for the Astros. They've got a strong bullpen. They proved that against the Yankees in the ALCS. And while we have seen members of the Penn step up for Washington, it really is an extra pressure on the Nationals starters to pitch deep into games because of what could happen, what did happen very often when the Penn took over.
Been in the situation, faced really good pitchers here in the National League over the years. You know, Kershaw, DeGrom, those guys. You just know you got to come out there and you're going to be throwing up zeros.
I remember Max Scherzer pitching in some of the most critical situations for the Tigers, going back to some of their runs. He's pitched in multiple championship series as well as that World Series I mentioned. He was with the Tigers in some of their glory years from 11 to 14. So seven different playoff runs for him with various teams. And that really does help. I think that benefits him being on the mound. While there will be adrenaline, while there will be emotions, there's no way to avoid that. He understands how to channel them. This won't be a new sensation for him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So these pitching matchups could be phenomenal. I know they say, whoever they are, that chicks dig the long ball. But I am hoping for a 2-hour and 45-minute pitcher's duel at least once along the way. It'll be Justin Verlander against Steven Strasburg in game number two. Zach Greinke, Patrick Corbin. I mean, the possibilities are endless for this series to actually buck the trend in 2019. So pitching will be critical.
we're at the point of the season where these are elite teams. These pitchers are all really good. How they deploy their guys, it is what it is. I mean, I think when we'll see how much easier, quote unquote, easier it is to face a guy a second and third time. But with the type of pitching that we're going to face out of the rotation with the Nats, I'm not sure you can use the word easier.
Nah, I would think A.J. Hinch makes a great point, not to mention the Nationals are playing their best baseball of the year. As I mentioned, having won 16 of 18, survived three elimination games to get to the NLCS. It's certainly the most dramatic stage in baseball. It's October. We should expect the unexpected. And if this series can potentially give us some of the excitement of, say, Astros-Dodgers that went seven games 2 years ago and had extra inning games and walk-offs and all kinds of crazy stuff. Or if we could get, say, an extra inning seventh game of the World Series like Cubs and Indians the year before that, I would be satisfied. I mean, I don't want to be greedy, but considering what Jose Altuve has set us up for after the walk-off in the bottom of the ninth of Game 6 on Saturday night, I feel like it's not too much to ask that we might get some of those kinds of Altuve moments.
You know, last game five against the Rays and game six against the Yankees, because every time you win a game and you move to the next series, it's really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. I don't know how much experience will play a role once they get into the series. But it's a different atmosphere for a lot of these Nationals, to be sure, which is why I like Max Scherzer on the mound to start. I know that Ryan Zimmerman said you just have to treat the series like any other game. And maybe that's the case after you've had a couple of at-bats. But think about it. The raucous atmosphere at Nationals Park that we've seen so often in this playoff run. I mean, that sound, that cacophony of noise, same thing for the Astros, Minute Maid Park. That place gets loud with the roof closed. And so you want to have the best of the best, but you also know that these are human beings and they will, in fact, be nerves. There will be nerves. There will be jitters. There will be these surges of adrenaline where pitchers are maybe overthrowing or a guy is pressing at the plate, trying to crush a home run and single-handedly win the World Series with a swing of the bat. So they have to learn how to channel those emotions too. That's part of the process. But man, it is the stage. So sorry, NBA. Okay, Clippers and Lakers are likely to get a few eyeballs. We do have clickers. We do have remote controls. But the start of the NBA season up against Game 1 of the World Series. How excited are you about the beginning of the association and its 82-game schedule? It is a marathon, not a sprint. We've got a poll up. We're asking you. We've given you multiple options. Andrew Bogish is here in studio. Would you like to hear the options?
Lay a mommy.
All right. So the first one would be over the moon. Does that describe you about anything?
No.
Anything? Concerts,
not really.
Maybe on the beach? Anything else?
Yeah,
donuts?
No, not donuts.
Cupcakes? Yes.
No, not cupcakes. Not Bates goods.
Well,
like kids-related things, maybe.
Okay.
Over the moon, but that's about it.
All right.
It's a short list.
Moderately hyped.
Sure. Let's go with that one.
That's yours.
That's
okay.
The leader in the clubhouse.
So, meh.
No, definitely not.
Okay, so you are excited.
It's the World Series.
No. This is the NBA we're talking
either
about.
Either way, baseball. It's the NBA season.
Did you think I was talking about baseball?
I thought I was talking about the World Series, yeah.
Yes, it's up against the World Series. Oh my gosh, no one listens to me. Okay, and then the last option would be the season is starting?
Oh, I knew that. I think.
Okay, so he's moderately hyped, even though he doesn't know what we're talking about.
Nope.
You can take the poll, ALOL Radio, or on our Facebook page. We'll get to some of your responses, plus 855-212-4CBS. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
1 man to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Made a guy miss. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! Feathers helping into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TV of the week, head to @AfterHoursCBS on Twitter or give us a call at 855-212-4227.
the Arizona Cardinals.
First down of the 22 of the Giants. Murray in the shotgun. To his right is Edmonds. Three receivers set. And it's a handoff to the left side. Edmonds, he's got room at the 20, the 10, the 5. He's in again. The hat trick. Third touchdown run. The first two went for 20 apiece. This one goes for 22 yards.
The Green Bay Packers.
Rodgers, quick toss, left side, got his man, first down, extending down the left sideline, and heading out his way, it is MBS, no one will catch him, touchdown Green Bay! Simple little swing pass, turns into a 75-yard touchdown pass, and there is your dagger!
The Buffalo Bills.
Farwell, Bills special teams coordinator, has his hands team out there. The Dolphins trying to recover. Here's the bloop kickoff, the short one, and it is caught by Micah Hyde in the air, and he's going to run the other way.
Go down.
Micah Hyde running at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone, touchdown. Micah Hyde caught it in the air, ran it into the end zone for the touchdown.
The Chicago Bears.
Here's the kickoff. Cordarrelle Patterson settling in the end zone, about a yard deep. Angles left, gets to the 10, opening at the 20, hits the gas at the 25, breaks a tackle, he's in the clear, running right to the 40, being chased from behind, steps out of a tackle, 20, 10, 5, touchdown Bears!
Wow, what a sample for Touchdown Tuesday. It's a happy morning for those of you who are Patriots fans, of course, a good morning for those of you who are football fans to hear those great calls. Jeff Joniak on the Bears Radio Network, the only touchdown for Chicago before the fourth quarter. They did get a 102-yard kickoff return, though, for Cordarrelle Patterson. Pretty amazing to see him high step and motor his way all the way down the field. As for kickoff returns, Micah Hyde's was a little shorter, but John Murphy on the Bills Radio Network with the onside kick attempt by the Dolphins. Hyde on the all-hands team able to take it the other way despite the exhortation to go down, just lay down. Incredible game for Aaron Rodgers. Gets a game ball from Matt LaFleur after his first ever perfect passer rating. And the capper was the touchdown up the sideline to Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Wayne Larrabee with the call on the Packers Radio Network. And Chase Edmonds with the trifecta with the hat trick. Dave Pasch on the Cardinals Radio Network. That was pretty amazing to see, filling in for David Johnson and also serving as the BFF for Kyler Murray, which right now, these days in 2019, when teams are trying to establish the run and use that ball control game, we've seen more and more, even with elite quarterbacks, work on the run and hand off early and often. So you can vote for TD Tuesday on our Twitter, After Hours CBS, or my Twitter, A-Law Radio. Oh, wait, you can't actually until I retweet it. Here we go. And then on our Facebook page, too. And so we do have a pair of polls up, kind of fun. One is about the NBA. We're gauging your interest. The other is our standard TD of the week poll. So check those out. Again, on Twitter or Facebook. If you don't believe me that Star Wars actually sent me the trailer for The Last Skywalker, ooh, the proof is on my social media. I felt very special, even though I'm sure there were millions of people out there who also got the tweet, but this one is specific to me. It says, at A-Law Radio, the new Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker trailer is here. Watch it now. And there it was. I feel special. No one can ever take that away from me. Coming up on Sunday, it's an NFL and CBS doubleheader. Let's hope that it's some good competition and that the Rise of Skywalker trailer is not the highlight like it was with Monday Night Football. We start with the Colts battling the Broncos or Kyler's Cardinals, Chase Edmonds' Cardinals, taking on the Saints, followed by the Browns and the Patriots going toe-to-toe in Foxborough. It all begins with the NFL Today, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, only on CBS. Richard is listening in Myrtle Beach. Welcome to After Hours, Richard.
Thank you, Amy. Love your show. Going to be another beautiful day in paradise down here.
I hope so.
Two things. Mm-hmm. I'm not worrying about the NBA tonight. I'm a Nats fan. And I'm looking forward to the first two games, especially with the pitching on both staffs. Mm-hmm. I think if the Nationals can at least split before they go back to D.C., I think they have a chance of maybe winning or at least taking it seven games to make it interesting. What do you think?
Well, if you grab away the home field advantage from the Astros or from any team, really, I mean, that's the entire goal of being on the road in the first two games of any series, regardless of sport. You take one of those first two games and you have taken away the home field advantage. So, yeah, I mean, if they can grab one of these games at Minute Maid Park, that gives them home field. And we've seen what the Nationals fans do in support of their team. At least now in the playoffs, it's incredibly loud and raucous and intimidating.
Right. My other thing is this. I think a sleeper team, and I think who, if you had a vote right now for Coach of the Year, mm-hmm. would be the Colts. I'd have to give Coach of the Year to the coach of the Colts. And I think they could be like a Cinderella team, just like the Nats are in the World Series. The way they're playing, the defense, the offense, I think they're doing a heck of a job, and I think they can make the playoffs. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Colts are right now leading the AFC South. We're only through week seven, so anything can happen, but their leadership has been it's been what we know of Frank Reich. It's strong leadership. It's a strong voice. It incites trust from his players. Clearly, Jacoby Brissett was prepared. The offensive line is a huge key to that. They also want to establish the run, though this past weekend they weren't really able to do it against the Texans. And the defense with Darius Leonard, he's a superstar. And while he missed a couple of games, he's back now, had an interception on Sunday. So, yeah, this is a team that, while it's not the same team that we thought, I mean, I know a lot of people, including me, were looking at the Colts as a team that could have a huge season coming off of what they did at the end of last year, winning a playoff game. So it's not Andrew Luck, but Brissett took a lot of snaps during the preseason because he had to, and he was able to step in. And that, again, speaks to the maturity and the strength of the leadership, both with the coaching staff as well as in their locker room.
Well, Amy, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And go Nats. I'm looking forward to the pitching matchups between tonight and tomorrow night. I think it's going to be very interesting. And you have a great day, Amy.
Thanks, Richard. You too. Let's talk to Bill in California. Welcome to After Hours, Bill.
Hi, Amy. How you doing?
Great.
Two comments. I agree with you on that guy, Ozuna. I think personally they should have just suspended him for the season. And I'd like to comment on the Houston Astros Washington series. I got to say this, man. This isn't meant as a bad thing. This is meant as a good thing. Size doesn't matter in Houston, if you know what I'm talking about, with our little hero for the Astros. I'm going on Houston all the way in five games. That's it. Take care. Bye.
All right, Bill. Good to talk to you. Jose Altuve is who he's referring to. 5'6", all 5'6" of him. And I wonder if that includes the shoes and the cleats. You never know. It's going to be fun. I'm really hoping, because we're spoiled rotten and we've gotten such good series most of the last few years, that this one turns out to be a chess match, all the strategy. I can do without the 5-hour games, but if that's what we get, well, then that's what we get. I know that we are left with the best two teams. That sounds cliche, right? But these two teams, coming from different directions, have earned it. They've had to work hard for it. They've been tested. They've been pushed. And I'm excited, again, because we could actually get a pitcher's duel or two. Maybe two is too much to hope for, but I'm excited about it. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. A couple of things back from the world of football. We have the update on Matt Ryan. He's got a sprained ankle. Don't know whether or not he'll be available. As you can imagine, they have no idea. He's already doing the rehab. He's already in the pool and getting the treatment and doing whatever he can to try to be ready moving forward. So week 8. Ooh, for the Falcons, it's a game against the Seahawks. Seahawks, of course, just lost in week 7, so you can imagine as bad as their offense looked against the Ravens, that they're anxious to go out there and get back into a rhythm. Falcons defense generally allows that. And it puts a lot of pressure on the offense. So when you've got a defense as porous as what the Falcons have been, it really does require that the offense scores on every drive, which is... it's not only unlikely, it's near impossible. We don't see many games like that. And so this is a tall order. The Falcons do have their bye in week 9. But then they go on the road at the Saints, at the Panthers, and play Buccaneers, Saints, Panthers all in a row. So you've got all these NFC South games coming up. Matt Schaub is, of course, a veteran, but a lot of the issues have been with the offensive line, which is how Matt Ryan got hurt in the first half, or the first place, fourth quarter, a sack with Aaron Darnold. As for Ron Rivera and the Carolina Panthers, they will stick with Kyle Allen this week. Coach is kind of cryptic about Cam's health, only that he's doing everything that's been asked of him. He's participating in all of the rehab and all of the exercises and the drills that he's allowed to do, but that he's not ready to come back, and Kyle Allen will start. Cam did not mention football at a charity event in which he made an appearance last night. This was kind of funny. He doesn't mention football, but he does give you advice if your invitation gets lost in the mail.
Hey, what's going on, Panthers fans? It is yours truly. And fortunately and unfortunately, I was not personally invited by Greg Olsen to attend his Heart of Shard Fit Fest, but if you're not invited to the party, then you crash the party. And that's what I'm doing.
Okay, that has to be a drop. If you're, because I never get invited to the party. If you're not invited to the party, then you crash the party. And that's what I'm doing. So between the advice of Cam Newton and the advice of Le'Veon Bell for his quarterback, Sam Darnold, I mean, chin up, man. You can't play any worse than you just did. I feel so much wiser on this Tuesday morning. I don't know if I'm supposed to be laughing, but I definitely am.
If you're not invited to the party, then you crash the party.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. That does sound a lot like Cam, but you know what? It sounds a lot like me. I'm not shy. When I was once working a basketball tournament in Mexico, we were staying in this resort in Cancun. I was with a team doing their radio, and there was one off night. And the athletic trainer and I were roommates, so we were walking through this lobby, kind of exploring this ginormous resort, and there was a wedding going on in one of the lobbies, and they had a fondue fountain. I did, in fact, crash that party just to have the chocolate fondue. We just pretended. We had come from a fancy dinner, so we were dressed up. We just pretended that we were part of the guest list and kind of wormed our way toward the chocolate fondue. Oh, it was so worth it. Have you ever seen a chocolate fondue fountain? Whenever I get married, there will be a chocolate fondue fountain. Don't you worry. All right. So tonight we've got the start of the World Series. We've got the NBA season tipping off. We've got more to come with our hump show. It's my writing day. So definitely football in the brain. And also on our next show, Lane Johnson calling out his Eagles teammates in a very specific way. So we'll get to that, too. I hope that you have a fantastic Tuesday. Don't forget us here on Twitter, A-Law Radio. So how excited are you about the start of the NBA season? Right now, is in the lead. I should have known. I should have known. And also vote for TD Tuesday on our Facebook page, too. You guys rock. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.